look up at the screen, and we're going to see the passage, the second passage for tonight, in animation. Hey, scripture reading in animation, isn't that cool?
There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play with the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea.
Thanks, Antonio. I unfortunately cannot speak American like that. I guess some people can. Maybe put you on the spot. No, no one's going to say anything, are they? All right, so like I said, we're speaking tonight about enjoying God and being enjoyed by Him. God wants us to enjoy Him. And for the next 3 weeks, like I explained, we're going to have a journey together where we're going to allow God to get us to a place where we enjoy Him and we enjoy life and we enjoy each other. And if maybe you're at that place already, then we're going to trust that you enjoy Him even more and that you enjoy each other anymore. The community of God, the people together, enjoy everything that he's given us. So I want to invite you to join me on this journey. I said this morning, I used to be an engineer. I studied engineering, and I'm very thankful for a certain design style that I learned as an engineer. It's called agile design. Who's heard of agile design? Any engineers in the house? Iggy's got a half hand there. Yes, there's a hand. Okay, agile design is very simply, it works like this. You always, when you release a product, when you release something, it's never a finished product. You always release a beta version of your product. Who knows of a good example of this? A software program? Google, the iPhone. Is the iPhone in a beta version? We'll have to have this conversation afterwards. I'm not sure. But I know that Google is always in a beta version, right? There's never a finished product. And so tonight, some of you are like, what is this got to do with the sermon? My sermon tonight is in a beta version, right? It's a work in process, right? I'm sharing stuff that I'm working through and that I'm trusting for the Lord to do in my life as well. So like I said, I want to invite you on this journey with me of enjoying God, and discovering myself in Him. The Westminster Shorter Catechism summarizes the chief end of man as to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. So this group of people came together and they said, the purpose of man, if we summarize the scripture, if we look at everything that Jesus said and the scriptures teaches us, we can summarize it into this one thing. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Doesn't that sound amazing? If you've just touched something of God, if you just tasted some of his goodness, you'll know that is incredible. You know, that's the chief end of man. That's our purpose. Our life purpose is to enjoy God. John Piper goes further and he says it's more correct to say to glorify God, or the chief end of man is to glorify God by enjoying him forever. Even better. We glorify God by enjoying him. And that is really the case. That's really the God that we serve. And so that is our inclination. It's always Godward. It's always to enjoy him. Secondly, God then most enjoys us when we are most at home in who he has made us to be, with who he has made us to be. So God enjoys us if we allow him to work in us to be who he has made you to be. Then he enjoys us. And I can really relate to this, but as a father, I can really relate to this. I've got two little children. One is 2 years old, the other one's 4. And they really such a blessing. I learned so much about fatherhood and the heart of the father through my kids. My little boy, he's a real extrovert. He's such a joker, right? He always cracks these jokes, and then he's got these moments where he so confidently stands up and he just cracks a joke, knowing that it's going to be funny, and then it is really funny. It's just he's such an extroverted palm type of personality. But I so enjoy him when he takes those leaps of just being himself. I so enjoy him as a father. My little girl again, the other day, Liana told me the story, but she was at home. I was just coming back from work. And she, you know, her love language again is gifts. She loves to give gifts to people. And it's also how she experiences love if people give her gifts. And so she was making these little gifts. And she made one for her brother. And she went to mommy and she says, mommy, this is your gift. And so Liana's like, thank you. This is amazing. But now where's daddy's gift? And then she smiled like this. And she said, I'm daddy's gift. And of course, the daddy's heart melts in that moment, knowing that she's so confident in and secure. And I'm so blessed by the relationship that we have. But just knowing who she is and the confidence, I really enjoy seeing that in my children. And then, of course, you know, kids being kids, kids being human, you have the sinful nature, right? And then you have the times when they have tantrums. And they fight with you, and they need the sweetie, and the sweetie, and the end of the world's going to happen if they don't get the sweetie. And then you realize, but the focus is just on self, and you know. But the times when the focus is on, and this is now the analogy for us is in the Father, our Heavenly Father. When our focus is on God, we can understand, we can live who we are, and that's when God enjoys us. When our focus is on self. It's we are least ourselves. When the focus is on the Father, we can become who we are and who we've been created to be. And so the first thing is what I'm sharing about tonight is self-discovery, is knowing yourself, knowing who God has made you to be, and being who God has made you to be. And so some of us might have a response of, you know, maybe, well, that sounds a bit selfish. You know, how must I then focus on myself to know myself? And it just seems a bit wrong. But no, it isn't. It isn't wrong. In fact, Jesus comes and he shows us that the most, the best way to live this life is when we serve. We are most ourselves when we serve as people. And Jesus comes to demonstrate this. He comes to show this to us in Luke chapter 22. His disciples are busy fighting about who's the greatest. And then Jesus responds and he says this, "For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is not the one who reclines, but I am among you as the one who serves. So he says, yes, in this world, if you want to be the greater, then you must get a servant. Get someone to serve you. Sit down, and the person that serves you, you are greater because you're sitting down. But Jesus says, I'm coming to show you a different way. I demonstrate to you that I'm coming to serve. And then he washes the disciples' feet. His whole life is about serving, serving manhood. And he actually demonstrates, he says, you know, the kingdom of God works different than the kingdom of this world. He actually goes further and he says, the kingdom of this world, they lord it over their people, the rulers of this world. But I show you a different way, a way of serving. And Jesus came in his person to show us how this life is meant to be lived. So, God wants us to know ourselves. And to know ourselves, we need to see Him. We need to be able to be worshippers. We need to come in an evening like this and really connect with God and really become disciplined in connecting with Him. But what is identity? Let's talk about identity because that's simply what tonight is about. Identity is not a series of intellectual thoughts about myself that maybe I've gained through experience or I've seen stuff about myself and now I know who I am. Or maybe some people have told me stuff of who I am. No, our identity is found in our spirits. When you come to God, when you get born again, God awakens your spirit. Right? Your identity becomes alive. And suddenly you begin to discover who you are. All right, look at this. Proverbs 20, verse 27. Says, the spirit of man, that factor in human personality which proceeds immediately from God, is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. I want you to see this picture. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. See this picture, and I'm tempted to ask, you know, before you knew God, and I remember for me, I once showed someone a picture of before. I actually showed the picture a couple of weeks ago. Some of you might remember, you know, when I was part of the Afro Clan, you know, that one. Yes. But someone commented on that picture, and they were like, but something's missing, right? You can actually physically see that there's something different in what I was and what I am now because something has become alive. I remember when I came to salvation, some people invited me to small group, or before actually I came to salvation. And I saw these people, they were worshiping God, they were talking about Jesus, they were really weird. But when I looked at their eyes, there was something about them that drew me to them. I couldn't stay away from these people because there was life. And that is what happens when God comes and He awakens us. We take the first step in understanding and becoming who we are in God. So the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. Do you see that picture? Do you see the lamp? And then it says, goes further. It says, searching all his innermost parts. So the spirit of man is the essence. It's the core. And it's connected to every part of man. It's connected to every part of our being. It's connected to your mind, your will, your emotions, your body, everything. The spirit of man is the essence of man. It's the center of who you are. And so God comes, and when we connect with God, He awakens our spirit. But then He goes a step further, and He gives us the Holy Spirit. We get baptized with the Holy Spirit. The scripture says the Holy Spirit then comes alongside us. And comes next to our spirit. So sometimes we think, well, I've got a body, I've got a soul, and I've got a spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes over my spirit, but it's not the case. The Holy Spirit comes alongside our spirit. You have your own spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to see pretty soon how the Holy Spirit then comes alongside us and helps us and forms us and forms our identities in Christ. The Spirit touches us in specific ways that forms us so that we come to understand who we are. And this happened for Jesus. We saw the scripture there in Isaiah 11 on the screen. I'm going to read it for us again because it's so powerful. It's the image of Jesus. It's a prophecy how things will happen when Jesus lives his life or looking forward. Verse 1, it says, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit." Now, I've just been meditating on the scripture, and in the worship even, it's like God just breathed over the scripture, and he just gave me some insight into this. But the interesting thing there is, who was the son of Jesse? David, right? David. What was the prophecy about David and the Messiah? That he would come from the lineage of David, right? Now, the interesting thing is, if you look at the time of Jesus, when Jesus came, was born, and the political system of the day, actually, David was not in power, or the lineage of David was not in power. Have you noticed that? You know, but it says that Jesus would come from the lineage of David. So, you know, if you look at it from the Old Testament side, you would have a very different picture of how things would happen. And that's one of the reasons why the Jewish people and the very learned people, the people that knew the scriptures, couldn't get the fact that Jesus was the Messiah, because they saw, you know, he would come in the glory of the lineage of David. But now for God, it was enough. And the image it uses there in Isaiah is that of a stump, right? There's a stump. The tree has been cut down, right? Image there. The tree has been cut down. It's dead in a sense. But for God, that's enough. For God, the stump is enough. And then God comes in verse 2. It says, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." And then God comes and he raises up Jesus from that stump. A new branch grows forth as the Spirit of the Lord rests upon not just Jesus, but that nation. Right? And that is a great hope to us. You know, I believe that God is about to rest on this nation. He's about to come with his Spirit and use whatever is available to him. He literally just needs a stump. He just needs a little bit, and he will raise up a branch. He will do amazing things through his Spirit. Now, back to us as individuals and our identity, you can see how, and the scripture continues to show us how the Holy Spirit that then comes over Jesus forms his identity and forms who he is as a person. And the scripture, verse 2, there speaks about the seven, theologians call it the sevenfold Spirit of God, right? You can fast forward a bit to the book of Revelations. And then again, a couple of times you read of the sevenfold Spirit of God. One of the images, actually, Antonio, if you can put on that image for us, is of the lamp. Revelations 4 verse 5 says, "Seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." If you go back to Isaiah 11 verse 2, which we just read, you see that those are the seven expressions, if you want, of the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord, wisdom, understanding, Spirit of counsel and might, Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. You can go to the next image, Antonio, the next one after this one. Okay, so that's a bit more detailed of the image, pulling together a couple of the scriptures. I'm not going to focus on that now. Next one. So here's just a picture just for us to understand what happens. What happens in when the new man in Christ, when God comes and he says, "I've made all things new. You're a new creation. All things all the old is gone, the new has come." Logic and intuition is in our mind. The will, mind, will, and emotions are in our soul, with the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And then here is the Spirit. But now Do you see how the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the sevenfold Spirit comes and comes alongside our spirit and forms who we are, speaks into the innermost being of man, and then speaks into the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. All right, there's lots of detail. I'm not going to focus too much on that. But I want to talk about these seven expressions of the Holy Spirit. And then we'll go back to Isaiah 11 and we'll see how these seven aspects of the Holy Spirit formed Jesus and how it molded the person who he was to come, was to be. So firstly, let's start off. And before I jump into the first one, I just want to say that it's so important that we realize that the Holy Spirit can work through you, but it doesn't mean he works in you. Who of you have seen that before? The Holy Spirit actually uses you in even a supernatural way to affect someone else or do a miracle. But sometimes you find that it doesn't change you inwardly. The right way is that the Holy Spirit comes, works in you and then through you. Not just through you, but in you and through you. And that's what we see in Jesus. And so we're talking about identity. We're talking about God shaping us in character and in anointing. God shaping us in how we react and act in this world, but also how we walk in the power of God in this world, the same way that Jesus lived. God always wants us to grow both in character and anointing in him, like Jesus did. Right, so we're not going to so much. Normally we focus on the outward, the God working through us. But now we're going to talk about God working in us to form us and to make us who we are and who he wants us to be. Remember, he most enjoys us when we are who he's made us to be. You know, God has never made us to be copycats. God has never made us to compare. Never compare yourself with someone else, because God has made you to be you. Right? And we're not meant to try and imitate other people. We're called to be ourselves, who God has made us to be. And the Holy Spirit is there to help us to understand who we are. The Spirit of the Lord. That's the first one of the seven images. So firstly, it says that the Spirit of the Lord rested on Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord rested on him. So firstly, it speaks about the fact that it brings us in our core of our being, in our identity, we realize that we can rest because you and I, we're not God. So many times we find ourselves trying to play God in our own lives. So many times we find ourselves trying to fix ourselves, trying to fight for ourselves in this life. Many times you'll find, especially if we had a difficult background, if we had a difficult childhood, we try and fight for our place in this life. But did you know that God wants to fight on your behalf? God wants to be your God. And that's a place where we receive the fact that he's the Spirit of the Lord. He is Lord. He's God in our lives. And in the core of who we are, we rest in the fact that God is God. He's going to take care of me. He's going to. And you'll find that if when someone discovers who they are, it's really attractive. I don't know if you've seen people that are really Christ-like. It's really attractive. You look at the person, you're like, wow, that's amazing. That's inspiring. That which God has worked in that person, that's really amazing. I want to have that. And then sometimes we make the mistake, like I said earlier, we try and copy that. But that's not what we should copy. We should copy the relationship that they have with God, the way that they allow God to speak into the core of who they are, into their identity, and to allow them, allow God to shape your identity and who he's made you to be. So that's the first one. Don't break your mind. I'm just really touching on these. I'm actually quite, you know, sharing a lot of these things based on my experience of the Holy Spirit working in me. So it's just a way for you to sort of, you know, unlock your relationship with Christ. So, you know, he's going to work with you, you know, in a different way. And so some of these things I'm sharing from, you know, interpretations of the scripture on a theological level, but a lot of it is just my opinion, actually. But I want you to, I just want to stir something in you to discover God, to enjoy God, and to allow God to come into your life. So that's the first one, Spirit of the Lord. Second one, Spirit of Wisdom. And with each of these, they are really powerful biblical images. The Spirit of Wisdom is a good example of this is Solomon, right? He's the guy that asked God for wisdom, and God gave him incredible wisdom in his day. The definition of wisdom is knowledge rightly applied. Knowledge rightly applied. Now, once again, I'm not focusing on the working through us. I'm working on the in us, right? So wisdom and the Spirit of Wisdom working in us works in us the inclination to the appropriate thing for the right time. When we allow the Spirit of Wisdom to work in us, we have incredible self-knowledge. We have the ability to do the right thing at the right time. You see this also in the life of Jesus. In no situation does he do the same thing. You know, Jesus never gets stuck in methods. He doesn't get stuck, oh, well, last time it worked like this, so I'm going to do it like this again. No, Jesus did the appropriate thing at the appropriate time. He understood what is the right thing for the appropriate moment. It's in psychological terms, we're speaking about emotional intelligence. But I'm stealing a bit back from the psychologist, because psychologists don't believe in the spirit, the human spirit. Everything is in the soul, right? The soul and the body. There's, you know, psychologists believe in the fact that man consists out of two parts. We believe, according to Scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, that man has been created with three parts: soul, body, and the spirit. And like I said, in essence, we are spirit. So that's wisdom. I'm going to jump around as it sort of makes sense to me. But the spirit of might, and I've jumped a couple of the other ones, I'll come back to them. The spirit of might, and there's lots of powerful images in this in scripture, but the spirit of might, and Samson, he's a very good example of the spirit of might. So many times in his life, it says, the scripture says, the spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he did mighty things, right? There are stages and times in your life where you are going to face situations where you are going to have to hit that situation head on, right? It's not going to make sense. You're not going to maybe have the financial resources, the emotional ability. You're going to really feel not up to the task. But then you're going to allow the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of might, to work in and through you, and to work in you the ability to hit it head on and take on the task, even though it's not possible for you. All right? That's the Spirit of might. So, you know, you'd find a situation and God says to you, go. The door is open. When you get there, the door is closed. You know, and then you just need to go. God's going to open the door as you go. All right, that's the spirit of might. Now, just to explain to you the difference again, jumping back to the spirit of wisdom would mean to, at some stages, to know, like I said earlier, the appropriate thing at the appropriate time. Okay, so sometimes a situation would be that I need to go in with might. Another time would be to do it differently. Okay, sometimes, and we see this actually exemplified in the life of Samson. He got the one right. He got the spirit of might right, but that was also his downfall because he didn't understand the spirit of wisdom. Right? He got one trick. He got one thing right, but he didn't understand the full counsel of God. He hadn't allowed God to work in all the areas. And so, you know, he was outsmarted, by the enemy. Long story short, go and read again. So that's the spirit of might, the spirit of understanding. The spirit of understanding is, and this is a bit more in relating to people. The Bible says, live in understanding, right? Understanding in two ways. Understanding firstly in God, who God is and what he's saying to us. And then secondly, understanding one another. It also speaks of a certain, like I said, emotional intelligence, right? Knowing where people are at, not presuming, really understanding situations. In fact, this is contrasted with what we see in the Old Testament with old Israel, who did not understand and who heard but did not comprehend. They saw, but they did not perceive. Right? We often read those scriptures of judgment where God says, you saw, but you didn't get it. Right? The situation was there, but you didn't perceive. I was there. God was there in the situation, but you didn't understand the time of your visitation. You didn't perceive. You didn't have the appropriate understanding. And we see Jesus lives this life of understanding. He understands people. You know, so much so that Peter looks at Jesus and he says, but you know the heart of man. You know, Jesus, you know, you understand, right? And we see Jesus understands people. He gets them, right? And it's a certain part of his identity that the Holy Spirit formed in him. Then the next one is the spirit of counsel. And the key word here is empathy. Now, what is empathy? Empathy is the ability to put yourself in someone else's shoes, to experience what they experience, to feel the pain that they're feeling, to go through the joy that they're experiencing, to celebrate when they feel victory. That is the spirit of counsel. And sometimes, and especially when we've had a difficult background, especially we've had a lot of hurt. We cannot access that ability to step out of where we are at into where someone else is at. We need to allow God to heal us, restore us, because a restored whole person is someone that can empathize. We see with Jesus. Jesus is such an amazing picture of this. He would meet the woman at the well. He would engage with the rich young man, and he would be able to understand where they're coming from. He would be able to relate with them. The woman with the issue of the flow of blood, he could see their pain. He could sense their pain. He could empathize with them. He allowed the spirit of counsel to work not just through him, but in him, to really get it and get the people around him. Then the second last one, the sixth one, the spirit of knowledge. Now the spirit of knowledge works in us both a confidence and a security of knowing who we are. Jesus himself said, I know where I'm coming from and I know where I'm going. You know, so Jesus had such a confidence because he allowed the spirit of knowledge to work in and through him. He had the security of knowing who God has made him. And then the last one, and one of the most important ones, along with the other six. Some of you are going to get that later. That's a joke, by the way. They're all equally important. Shake the person next to you and say, we're only starting. Okay, no, we're almost done. The next service needs to start. I'll pick up the pace. The spirit of the fear of the Lord. Right. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is obviously, we can spend the whole evening talking about the fear of the Lord. But if the fear of the Lord is not where we psych ourselves up to revere or respect God. No, God is in himself awesome. And we don't understand the word awesome. It's a biblical word that's sort of become a popular word. But awesome means scary, right? God is scary. If you look at people that had real encounters, face-to-face encounters, there's only two that we know of, they dropped down. John says, like I was a dead man, right? Isaiah said, when he saw God, he just shouted, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. God is fearful. And the fear of God is cultivating an instinctive awareness of God and who he is. It's something that God needs to work in us, in our identity. So many times you read in scripture that people say, this was a God-fearing man. And this was a God-fearing man. We see it with Cornelius. We see it with the Roman centurion. We see it with the prophets that awaited the coming of the Messiah, Jesus. Every time the scripture says, this is a God-fearing man, in other words, in their identity, they instinctively knew God is awesome. It was part of who they are. So the spirit of the fear of the Lord works that in us and works that through us. Before we're going to pray tonight, I want to jump back to Isaiah 11. Now you see in verse 3, 4, and 5, verse 2, we saw the sevenfold spirit of God working, resting on Jesus. And then the next verses tell us how this spirit worked outwardly through Jesus to shape and form his character. So it says in verse 3, the first one, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. This is talking about Jesus. He shall not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. Won't you stand with me this evening? The band, you guys can come up. And we're going to just allow God to speak into our hearts. Remember, tonight is about discovering who God has truly made us to be. And first we need to incline our eyes to God. First we need to enjoy God. First we need to see him, because you can only understand who you are if you see him. So I want to just pray for us as we bring our hearts to him. We allow him to speak into the innermost parts of our being. Father, we thank you this evening that we can surrender to you, Lord. That we can come to you with a boldness, with a liberty, knowing that, God, you are awesome. Knowing that, God, that in our humanity, in our limitedness, God, we can know the limitless one. You are without limit, God. You are all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving. And we thank you, Father, that you come and bridge the gap tonight. You come and bridge the gap in our hearts, in our minds. The ways, the areas that we limit you in, God. We ask that you would breach those gaps, the obstacles, God. The things that we've gone through, God. We surrender to you. We give to you. And I want to ask, just while every eye is closed, if you're here tonight and as I was ministering, God was showing you certain things about yourself and certain things that you've maybe limited yourself in. Maybe you thought, well, I was, I've always limited myself just to be like this person. But now I see and I feel the Holy Spirit working in me to really allow him to work in me in this way. Maybe fear has hindered you. Maybe there's some other obstacle. But I want to just give the opportunity for you to just respond to your Maker, the one who has made you, the one who has formed you, the one who put everything together. He's not confused. He knows you. So I want to just ask you to be very bold. And while every eye is closed, if God spoke to you about any of those things, I want you just to extend your hands to the heavens and say, God, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, come. Rest on me. Show me who you've made me to be. Show me what you've placed in me. Only through your eyes. I want to be your son. I want to be your daughter. I want to know what it means to be enjoyed. Because God enjoys you. Father, thank you for every hand that is raised to the heavens right now. Thank you that Holy Spirit, you come. You rest. Thank you that Holy Spirit, you rest on your people. You fill us, God, to overflowing. Thank you, Father, as Jesus, you said, rivers of living waters. And God, we're only touching on the surface. God, we're only just starting to get to understand what that means. But we thank you for the rivers on the inside to begin to flow. Thank you, God, that you transform us and you form us. You speak into us. Holy Spirit, that you come alongside us. You minister to us. You make all things new, God. Thank you, Father, for the old things, the obstacles, the fears, the challenges. That you come and remove those. You help us to connect to the Father. Just want to ask if there's anyone here tonight. You're just feeling far away from God. Maybe you don't hear His voice. Maybe you've never made a public declaration that you are His. I remember 13, 14 years ago, Jesus stepped into my life and He changed me. Angus Buchan says, if there's no change, there's no Jesus. I remember my life changed that day. The previous day I was one person. The next day I was a new person. The lamp came on. So I want to give you an opportunity tonight. If you are here and you are far away from your Maker, you don't hear His voice. Or maybe you've known Him. You've made such a commitment, but you feel far from Him tonight. Then I want to give an opportunity for you to respond to His love. Tonight. Is there anyone like that? Why don't you just put up your hand? Anyone like that? Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? Hallelujah. Thank you for that hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you that you are reaching out to your sons and your daughters. Someone here, you know the love of God intellectually, but it's not like it's not real to you at the moment. You also need to respond. You need to say, God, I need to come to you. You need to change me. You need to touch my heart anew, afresh. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for all the hands that have gone up. Now, there's something so special and precious when we come and we respond to the love of the Father, when we respond to the Holy Spirit drawing us. Now, I want to ask you, those of you that put up your hands, to be very bold tonight. And I want you to come out from where you are and symbolically take a step for God. Step forward and say, God, I'm surrendering all, submitting my heart. And even if you maybe didn't raise your hand, I also want you to come forward. But you know that God is doing something in your heart. Just submit to Him. Don't resist Him. The Bible says He gives grace to the humble. So why don't you just come forward. Thanks for coming. We can come forward. All those who've raised their hands. We can come out. There's some other people that still need to come. Hallelujah. Can we just have some facilitators? But also step forward, some of the small group leaders and leaders. You can come forward. There's a couple of other people. Since God is inviting you, say, come, come, don't delay, don't delay. You always put this out. But the Lord says to you tonight, 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 come and make right with your Maker. Just quickly come forward. as people are coming forward, I want us to, those of you in front, won't you just pray with me? So we're going to just pray. I know some of you have been following God. There's such a purity when we come to Him as children. So let's all pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender all to You, Jesus. You deserve everything. You deserve my life. And I come anew and I repent of my sins. I repent, God, of trying to do it by myself. And I come now in Christ into You. And I ask You that You would come into my life and make me anew. I thank You, Lord, for abundance of life, a newness of life. Fill me, Lord, with Your love and Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to just pray in front, and the band, if you guys can just lead us. Let's just allow God to finish the work that He has started in us. Let's not leave this place with just surrendering halfway. Let's allow God to finish and complete the good work that He has started in us. God bless you.